Are you the Quantum Mechanics?
Yes, we are the Quantum Mechanics, the paranormal podcast for the believers, the doubters, and everybody in between. We are here in person right now, but recorded. But we were here in person live last week. And if you're a Patreon, on patreon.com/TQM pod, you can hear it. And it was great. Thank you to everybody that came and everyone that's listened on our Patreon feed.
Yeah, we did the it's the pub where we started off recording, the Cross Keys in Tame. We were joined by Nikki, who was on the first podcast we recorded, and she kind of retold her story, and we delved a bit deeper, and then we took some questions from the audience. So it was really good. So if you go to our Patreon site, patreon.com/TQM pod, yeah, go and join and become a Patreon. It's like $5 a month. As well as getting the podcast early, we're starting to put more exclusive content like that up. And hopefully we'll do another live thing, because I really enjoyed it.
Oh, I so enjoyed it. We'll definitely do more of those. I think once you've got the taste for it, you can't really stop.
Yeah, yeah.
I quite like the fact that people were asking questions in the live, because it just changes the way that you tackle the subject, and come up with different ideas and thoughts on the topic. So I really appreciated that. It was very good.
Yeah, yeah. And once again, thank you to the Cross Keys for having us on. We were in between some Morris dancers and a live band, so it was great.
It's a good job we didn't arrive at the wrong time.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine being a Morris dancer.
Oh, I don't know, Ben. I could see you as a Morris dancer. You'd be all right. The outfits are a bit strange, though, aren't they?
I don't know whether I carry the bells off very well. I'll give it a go.
Well, today, Ben, it's quite bizarre in a way, because Ben has just done me a really big favour. We had somebody who was coming to stay at our house, and I was going to go and pick them up, and I realised Ben lived quite close to them. So Ben did this amazing favour of going and picking up a complete stranger and bringing them to the house, which is kind of an act of good karma, I would say.
I do think it's nice to be nice. I don't think of karma, but I suppose I do have a vague sort of thought that if you treat people well, that will come back on you.
Well, it's as if you've read my script, Ben. This is what we're going to be talking about today. It's all going to be about karma. And while I've been working on this, I've had two questions that have been running through my mind. The first one is, why are we so interested in stories about karma, whether it be good or bad? Because, you know, just look at YouTube, TikTok, the internet, it's full of these tales. And the second question, which is probably a bigger one, is, does karma really exist?
Yeah, or is it just coincidence?
Well, surprisingly, for one of our podcasts, Ben, I think I have the answer to both those questions.
What?
Yes. But before I do the big reveal, shall we get into some background and some stories, and then we'll come back to that, because I think I have found the answer.
Okay, well, I'm literally all ears.
Excellent. Now, I'm sure everyone's seen those instant karma videos on YouTube or TikTok. You know, the kind of videos where, yeah, everyone's stuck in a traffic jam and some idiot decides he's going to drive down the hard shoulder, or the breakdown lane, I think you call it in America, and annoys everyone. But then they just go past a cop and are pulled over.
Yes, absolutely.
Instant karma, right?
Yes. And when I'm in those queues and I see someone doing that, I do think, there better be a policeman.
Yeah. And there are many stories out there about karma that feel to me a bit like jots. Just one of those things. We've talked about them on the podcast before, strange coincidences. But in the case of karma stories, they've got that added twist of people getting their comeuppance or reward, I guess, depending on the situation and the type of karma. But they're very jot-like, a lot of the stories we're going to do today.
We love jots on this show.
We do, don't we?
A jot is characterised by something that feels insignificant. You know, it's not like a big thing happens. It's just such a little thing, but it's sort of related to that person's life. So is that sort of where you're thinking that they're related to the jots?
I think it's more the stories follow a similar thread. In a way, in your description there of a jot, these are almost like jots on steroids, but there seems to be some, I don't know, some synchronicity with the universe that you don't always get with a jot. You know, like I always remember that one you did, a jot story about the woman who'd lost her travel clock.
Yes.
You know, and she'd left it in a hotel, and then she got home and in her bag was a similar travel clock, but it wasn't the same design. And then suddenly her original one just appeared from nowhere. That is, like you said, it's a small thing, a small weird thing. These stories seem to have, that I'm going to do today, seem to have a bigger edge to them.
I see.
Before we get into the stories, do a little bit of the roots and the concept of karma, because it's an integral part of Hinduism and Buddhism. And we could do a whole series on the history and meaning of karma in religion, but we're not going to do that. But I did a little bit of research. This is my whistle-stop naive definition from my research. Now, the closest translation of what the word karma means in Buddhism is the word action. So, the definition, an action of mind, body, or thought that leads to an intention that then results in a consequence.
Okay, yeah, that makes sense.
I thought that was a good definition. And the word intention is pretty important from what I read. I get the impression that if one's actions were unintentional, they don't really have a karmic effect.
I see. So in that example you gave, if that person who was driving up the hard shoulder was trying to maybe save somebody who was going into labour, for example, then karma wouldn't come back and get them because they were trying to do a good thing. But if they were just trying to usurp the laws of the road, that would be a bad thing.
It might be more karmic, yes.
I see. Or
I guess in your example, the police car, instead of giving them a ticket, might say, I'll give you an escort to the hospital.
Yeah.
Now, from a religious perspective, karma or karmic actions have a bearing on the cycle of rebirth. I mean, put simply, good karma equals a better rebirth, and the opposite being true of putting bad karma out there, I guess. But in modern times, certainly post the internet, we think of the term instant karma, with those thousands of videos that I was talking about on YouTube and TikTok, predominantly involving cars, from what I can tell.
It does. Yeah, but instant karma has almost become a meme, hasn't it?
Yeah, exactly. But the term instant karma was popularised by John Lennon in his song of the same name. Really interesting, the background to this song. It came about when Lennon and Yoko Ono were having dinner with Yoko's ex-husband, Tony Cox, and his new wife, Melinda Kendall. They started discussing the traditional, more religious view of karma and that it affects what happens to you in the next life. And then the debate went on to this idea that, well, could it also have an effect for you in this lifetime, not just post-death? Now, this thought turned into a song idea for Lennon, and he wanted to get to the studio straight away and record something. This is amazing. In fact, Lennon was so inspired that he wrote and recorded the song in one day and then released it just 10 days later.
Oh, I didn't realise that.
It's crazy, that, isn't it? He, I think there's some famous quote of his of saying, I had the idea at breakfast. We made it at lunchtime and it was out by the evening. I think there's some quote like that he's done, which is very Lennon. But when he was asked about the meaning behind the song in an interview, Lennon said, everybody was going on about karma, especially in the 60s, but it occurred to me that karma is instant, as well as it influencing your past or your future life. There really is a reaction to what we do now. That's what people ought to be concerned about. He also says, also I'm fascinated by commercials and promotion as an art form. I enjoy them. So the idea of instant karma was like the idea of instant coffee, presenting something in a new form. I just liked it. I love that instant
coffee.
That's
such a great analogy, yeah.
It's brilliant, right?
Actually, it makes things weirdly understandable.
Yeah, that kind of instant fix of it, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe it's my fascination with the Beatles, but I thought it was interesting how the YouTube videos use that phrase instant karma. You know, car jumps red light, immediately pulled over by police. But it seemed to me that Lennon's original idea of instant karma was not so literal, or at least so quick. More that the actions that you do have an impact in this life rather than the next. Now, the other factor of the YouTube iterations of instant karma is that most videos, or at least the most watched ones, focus on someone doing something bad and then getting their comeuppance. We obviously know that karma can be good or bad, right?
Yeah, we do. Yeah, I mean, I think that's commonly understood. I think most people in the street now would understand that, yes, good or bad karma, yes.
Well, let's start with some bad karma stories and then we'll move on to some good ones later. A bit like Jock's, karma tales tend to be short and sweet, so I'm going to run through a few of them. And as we're going through, Ben, if you can think about which of the stories we feature today is for you the best example of karma.
Okay.
Now, I'll be giving them my own titles to help us remember them, and I'll do a short recap whilst we've heard them all, so don't worry too much as we're going along. My first example of bad karma I've called Very Hot Dog.
Oh, it's not going to be about food, is it?
It is going to be about food.
Oh, it is? Oh, good. Okay.
It is the unfortunate tale of a man named Terrian Pouncey. 19-year-old Pouncey was living in Chicago in 2017, and he set about robbing a number of stores at gunpoint.
I wonder if he really was Pouncey.
Yeah.
I've got this image of him like walking around like a cat, but yeah.
Yeah, maybe. Pouncey targeted stores that he knew had a lot of cash, and with this in mind, he decided to branch out and target street vendors as well, primarily hot dog stalls.
Oh, I see.
Because he knew they always had dealt in cash and had a lot of cash available. Easy money, right?
Right, yeah.
Well, Pouncey approached one such hot dog vendor, put a gun to his head and demanded the man's phone, wallet and all the cash from his hot dog stall. The hot dog vendor was holding a bucket of hot grease at the time and in his panic dropped the bucket of hot oil, which knocked over the vendor's money box, sending cash flying everywhere.
Oh, I thought you were going to say the grease went on him.
Some of the grease did splash on him, so he's reeling in a bit of pain from the hot oil. He puts his gun away and starts scrabbling around after the money, which is flying about everywhere. Unfortunately for Pouncey, as he hurriedly put away his pistol, it went off.
And he shot his own leg.
Shooting Pouncey in the penis.
No.
Yes.
So, are you drawing a comparison between stealing hot dog money and a gentleman's sausage?
Yes.
Okay.
Pouncey was arrested at a local hospital and went to prison after he recovered from his injuries. Apart from the karma of a man shooting off his own sausage while trying to rob a hot dog stall, spookily, this incident happened on Halloween.
Yeah, okay, that is weird.
There's some really good mugshots of him looking really miserable, so I might put some of them up on social media so you can see the man in question.
He should have just pounced on the money when it was flying around.
Yeah, pouncied on the money. Now, the next story I've called Karate Karma, and it's from a person on Reddit who wanted to remain anonymous. They say, a few years back, I was the assistant manager of my karate studio. It was a slow and quiet day when in walked Paul, my old bully from school.
Oh.
I wasn't sure at first. It'd been a long time, and it's hard to tell if it was definitely him, so I didn't say anything. Paul was interested in joining the karate club, and I showed him round, discussed pricing, etc. I didn't treat him any differently than I would any other potential client. At the end of the tour, Paul decided to join the club. We sat down in the office and he filled out the paperwork. When he wrote his name on the application, I knew for sure that this indeed was my old bully. The guy who used to torment me every single weekday. Oh, and this is bad. Who made me kneel in dog poo.
That's a very bad person.
Very bad person. She goes on to say, I didn't say anything until he prepaid me for an entire year's membership. And as I walked him to the door, I smiled. I'm really looking forward to training with you, I said. Thanks, me too, Paul replied. You don't recognise me, do you? I said. No, should I? Yes, we went to school together, grade 3 through 8. You bullied me every day and made my life miserable. Can't wait to see you in karate class. She says that Paul went white, walked out without another word, and never walked back in. He willingly threw away a year's membership payment, almost $500, rather than have to be in the same class with me.
That is bad, but at the same time, maybe he should have just apologised and sort of carried on with the karate class. But maybe he hadn't reformed.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely she would have got some comeuppance, I would have thought, because she's obviously been, if you're good enough to be the assistant manager, you obviously know what you're doing in the karate studio, right?
I wonder if she became so good at karate because of him.
Well, that's an interesting point. We might get on to some of that later, actually.
Okay.
Now, the next one, Ben, I don't know what you'll think of this. I'm not sure whether this is a tale of good or bad karma, but see what you think. I've called it Just the Job. It's from someone called Isabel from Cora. They say, Simon was one of my best friends at university. When we graduated, we were both invited to a job interview with the same company. During my interview, all was going well until they told me they'd interviewed Simon just before me and they knew we studied together. They said, since you both have honours degrees and similar experience, can you tell us why we should recruit you and not him? I didn't think twice. I knew he needed the job more than I did, and I couldn't imagine myself competing against him after studying all this time together. So I answered the truth. You should employ him. He has a brilliant mind, he's hardworking and passionate about software engineering. Suddenly, the recruiter started telling me how dumb I was and that one has to be competitive in the job market. And they told me Simon had done a good job of disparaging me in his interview, calling me too emotional. You won't get far with such an attitude, they said. I was appalled. I just wanted to go. They insisted, don't be afraid, we won't tell him. Please tell us at least one of his weaknesses. I stood up and left the room. A couple of hours later, they called me back. We want you to know that we followed your advice and we're offering the job to Simon. There was a pause, and then they said, to you, we're offering the position of team leader.
I can smell that coming. That's really interesting.
Simon never forgave me for getting a better position than him. He was convinced I'd put him down to get there. I always thought he might have felt secretly guilty for talking badly about me. To this day, I miss his friendship and wonder if we would still be friends if he hadn't fallen into the trap of the recruiters and into the hands of karma.
Oh, but wait, so he didn't take up the position?
Well, it's a bit unclear. I don't know if he did or he didn't, because, well, maybe she's working with him, but they lost the friendship. Maybe that's what she's saying.
Oh, I see, I see. I don't think I would have taken up the role, though. I mean, it's a pretty awkward position.
Really is, isn't it? Especially after that. Also, the thing I thought about that story, how does she know the recruiters just made that, they could have made that up, that he'd slagged her off?
Yeah, totally, yeah.
That's why I was a bit unsure about it. Earlier I mentioned that most instant karma videos on YouTube are about bad karma and people getting their just desserts. And I was thinking, that's probably because of the nature of the medium, right, Ben? Short videos, and I guess the prevalence of dash cams. You know what I mean? Dash cams? That's what they're called, right?
They are, yeah. And of course, it has to be visual as well. It's hard to sort of put something in a clip, yeah.
I guess watching people driving wells not so entertaining, is it, really?
Oh, imagine that. You know those 8:30...
20 million views.
Yeah. A perfectly executed three-point turn in a Rover. Yeah, brilliant.
Look, he pulled up at those lights with time to spare.
There is, though, I will say, I'm not doing my driving test. I did my driving test 32 years ago, but there's a channel where driving instructors teach you how to do stuff. And it just came up on my YouTube feed. And for some reason, I was watching it going, that's a really well-executed gear change. I've got to check myself. This is ridiculous. I'm wasting my life here.
I wouldn't imagine it had 10 million views, though.
One of them had 20.
Oh, really?
But I think it's people, you know, perhaps like your daughter who's learning to drive.
Yeah.
and they're sort of honing their skills. Or it could just be me, like other people like me, who are like winding down after a day, going, do you know what I could really do with? It's watching a man go from fourth to fifth perfectly.
Who knew there was such a good driving subculture?
I know. Oh, you see, this is why I'm so lucky to have the partner I've got, because I think 25 years ago, I don't think I would have stood much of a chance if I'd have said, come back to my place and we'll watch some driving videos. I've got a great one where he reverses in and he's got enough room to open the boot.
Look at the gap he's left there. Perfect.
It's just the most perfect parking I've ever seen.
A bit like this discussion, what gave me a bit of hope when I was researching the stories online rather than the videos is that they're predominantly about acts of good leading to good karma. So if you're up for it, let's move on to some of those.
I am very much up for that.
Now, the first story I've named Life's a Beach. And it starts in 1965 when Roger Lesueur was just 4 years old. His mother had taken him for a day out to the beach, but Roger wandered off without his mum noticing. The four-year-old waded into the water to try and swim, but he was caught in a riptide which pulled him under the waves. Roger would have died if it wasn't for the swift actions of a stranger called Alice Blaze, who dived into the sea and pulled him to shore. Roger was still not breathing, but Alice managed to revive him, saving the boy's life. 9 years later, now 13 years old, Roger was on the same beach when he heard a woman screaming, "My husband's drowning!" Roger didn't hesitate. He grabbed an inflatable raft and hurriedly paddled out to the man, lifting him onto the raft and pulling him back to the beach, saving the man's life. Wasn't until the next day, when local news reported on the story, that the woman, Alice Blaze, who had screamed for someone to help, realised that the teenager who had saved her husband was the same boy she had saved 9 years earlier.
Okay, that is very Jot-like.
It is, isn't it?
And what a lovely sort of... I imagine they became friends after that. You'd have to, wouldn't you?
You would think, wouldn't you? You've got that shared experience.
It's one of those events where you would... You know, some people might say that they were... And this is I'm not extolling any particular view on this, but some people might say they were souls tied together and they had to pay off each other's karma.
Yeah.
And that's how they did it. Perhaps, you know, they both wronged each other in a previous life and they were equally guilty. So this time they had to do the right to offset that.
Yeah, maybe. Well, the next one I've called Birth and Near Death. And it's the story of Dr. Michael Shannon, whose SUV was hit by a truck while he was driving on a highway in 2011. Oh, this sounds terrible. The truck landed on top of Dr. Shannon's car, trapping him inside.
Oh, it's my worst nightmare.
It's going to get worse. After a couple of minutes, the SUV caught fire and flames started to spread throughout the vehicle with Dr. Shannon still trapped inside.
Terrifying.
By the time the rescue crews arrived, Dr. Shannon's legs had just caught fire. The fire crew started to put out the flames, and one brave paramedic named Chris Trokey risked his own life to pull Dr. Shannon from the car, saving him from a certain painful death. Wasn't until the two men got to the hospital and Trokey heard the patient's name that the paramedic realised whose life he had just saved. A heroic paramedic, Chris Trokey, had been born premature, weighing only 1.5 kilos. That's about 3.2 pounds. So, I mean, so small, right?
Yeah, yeah.
He wasn't expected to live, but one doctor, you can probably guess the name, Dr. Yeah. Shannon, refused to give up on the boy and spent a number of sleepless nights nursing him to health. All those years later, the paramedic ended up saving the man who had saved his life as a baby. If Dr. Shannon had not been so determined all those years ago, Chris Trokey would have not lived to pull him out of that burning car. Also, it was the stories of what the doctor had done for him as a child that inspired Chris Trokey to join the medical profession and become a paramedic.
That is, I mean, it is quite remarkable.
That's an amazing story, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
Yeah, we won't. We'll do our karmarometer when we finish them. I've got another couple to go. So, from a karmic act that saved a couple of people's lives to one that saved millions, this story I've titled "Bloody Brilliant."
Thank you, Alan.
Yeah. Aha. When James Harrison was 14 years old, he nearly died. He underwent major chest surgery, with doctors having to remove one of his lungs. During the operation, Harrison lost 2 litres of blood and only survived because of blood donations from people he had never met. After Harrison recovered, he vowed to repay the gratitude of those who had donated by becoming a blood donor himself. This is so sweet. He first gave blood on his 18th birthday, so the first day he was able to do it.
That tells you a lot about character.
It really does, doesn't it? Doctors soon realised there was something unusual about Harrison's blood. It contained unique antibodies. With further research and study, scientists began to believe these unique antibodies could hold a cure for something called rhesus disease. Now, rhesus disease is a blood disorder that can result in babies having severe brain damage or death. The scientists asked Harrison if he would be willing to regularly donate plasma so they could continue their research, and Harrison readily agreed. And it was Harrison's blood that led to a cure for rhesus disease.
Good Lord.
Harrison's motivation to repay those who donated blood to him as a child led to his blood saving the lives of over 2 million babies.
That's extraordinary. How do we not know more about this, man?
I know, it's incredible, that story, isn't it?
But that is just... I'm blown away by that. How great. I mean, he must sleep really well at night knowing that.
Yeah, no, you said something... It says something amazing about his character that it was like, as soon as I'm 18... I'm going to give blood, not like in the first week or in the first few months, on the day of his 18th birthday.
Yeah, yeah.
So I've got one more story, then I wanted to look at why us humans are so drawn toward these tales of karma. But my final story I've called Home from Homeless. The story centres around a homeless man called Billy Ray Harris, who was begging for money on the streets of Kansas City. Now, a young woman called Sarah Darling dropped a few coins into his cup and then wandered off. It was only after the woman had left and Billy Ray checked his cup that he realised the young woman had left him more than just a few cents, and more than she had intended. When Sarah Darling dropped the coin into the cup, her engagement ring had accidentally slipped off her finger as well. I think it was cold and it had just come off.
Oh, my.
Billy Ray was now looking at a cup that contained about $1 in change and an engagement ring worth thousands of dollars. So his initial instinct was to go to a jewellery shop and pawn the ring, which he set out to do. In fact, he got to the point where the pawn shop owner offered Billy Ray $4,000 for it. Now, you think about that, Ben, for a man who's living on the street, that is just, that's like winning the lottery.
Yeah, right? It's life-changing, yes.
Just as Billy Ray was about to accept this offer, he was struck with guilt and had a change of heart. He left the shop with the ring safely in his pocket. He returned to his spot on the street and kept an eye out for the woman who had lost the ring. After a couple of days, he spotted Sarah Darling walking down the road, ran up to her and returned her engagement ring. Sarah Darling was so moved by Billy Ray's honesty, the act of kindness of returning the ring, she vowed to help the homeless man get back on his feet. Sarah decided to set up an online fund to help raise money for Billy Ray. The publicity this generated resulted in Billy Ray's estranged family tracking him down, bringing him back into the family fold, and he got to meet his nieces and nephews for the very first time. The fund that Sarah Darling set up for Billy Ray ended up raising over $185,000.
Wow. Wow, this sounds like a film.
Billy Ray was able to buy a house, a car, and get his life back on track.
That's nuts.
That's amazing, isn't
it? I love it. I love it. I bet they became really good friends.
You think, wouldn't you? I mean, yeah, the whole thing is just... Yeah, like you said, it's like a movie. It's got the perfect structure, hasn't it? Well, Ben, before we talk about whether karma really does exist or not, Should we decide what our favourite story is? Which of these stories is the best example of karma? I'll do a little recap. Are you going to go for Very Hot Dog, the robber who ended up shooting off his own penis while robbing a hot dog stall? Karate Karma, the woman who got revenge on her childhood bully when he turned up at her karate club? Just the Job, the woman who refused to slag off her friend and ended up being his boss? Life's a Beach, the boy who was saved from drowning and went on to save his rescuer's husband on the same beach? Birth and Near Death, the paramedic who pulled a doctor out of a burning car, then realised it was the very same doctor who had saved his life as a premature baby? Bloody Brilliant, the man who was saved by blood donations as a child, going on to save millions of babies with his own blood? Or Home from Homeless, the homeless man who resisted temptation and returned an engagement ring to its owner, who then helped him put his life back together?
Well, there's a good number to choose from there. I think the one that I'm really drawn to is the lifesavers on the beach, saving the husband from drowning, who, you know, repaying a, it does feel like repaying some sort of karmic debt.
Yeah.
I mean, I think all the other stories are amazing. I think the guy with rhesus disease, that's probably the most compelling story there. But there's something about the intimacy of that one and the chances of it happening. I mean, the chances of finding sort of a cure within someone else's blood, it's doable. You know, it's very rare, but I understand, you know, that's how a lot of cures come about. The ring story, yeah, I could see that happening, and I'm sure there are other cases where similar things have happened. But that life-saving drowning, that's the one I would say is the most... For me, that is an exemplar of karma.
Yeah, well, I guess it's got that synchronicity with the fact that he was saved from drowning and then saved someone from drowning with that connection. I'm with you. I mean, probably the one that had the biggest karmic effect is the blood one, I guess, because it wasn't just about saving one person. It was, you know, it saved millions. Although I do like the homeless man story as well, because when I read it, I just thought I could imagine him there in that jewelry shop with somebody saying, I'm going to give you $4,000, and to then go, you know what, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to find the person who lost this ring. I thought was amazing as well. At the start of this, I said I thought these stories have more to do with probability and coincidence than anything paranormal or some, I don't know, mystical concept of karma. And if you think about it from a more sceptical point of view, Ben, firstly, you've got the media. As I have today, we're drawn to the best stories, right? You know.
Absolutely.
Man who saved child doesn't end up saving anyone doesn't make a good headline, does it?
Not really.
So in that sense, we are likely exaggerating the significance, or at least statistically the significance of these stories. And it made me think about the episode we did a while ago on luck, and we delved into probability, and that often the odds of something happening are lower than one might expect. I don't want to burst your bubble about the boy on the beach story, but if you think about it from a probability point of view, they both lived in the same area. They were part of the same community, and they both regularly visited the same beach. When you factor all that in, maybe the story is not the one in the million shot that you initially thought it might be. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I suppose so. I suppose if it had been he'd flown halfway around the world and he was on a different beach and he didn't know anybody there.
Yeah.
And then suddenly this other person come on holiday at the same time as him. Yeah, I see what you're saying.
But it made me return to my original questions. Why do we like these stories so much? And is the concept of karma, or at least what John Lennon would describe as instant karma, a real thing? So I started searching for academic papers. We love that on this podcast, don't we?
It's pretty much why we do it.
And as if karma was at work, Ben, I came across an article that answered, at least at some level, both of my key questions.
Blimey. I wasn't expecting you to say... Well, you did say at the top. I suppose I wasn't expecting you to say that, but I was not expecting you to say that paper existed.
Well, the article was by a psychologist called Mark Travers, and it's titled, A Psychologist Explains How to Be a Master of Good Karma. I'm just going to read his article because I think he sums it up better than I could rephrase it. He says, imagine you're having a bad day. Your car doesn't start in the morning as you're about to head to work. The lights turn red just as you're about to cross the intersection, making you late for an important meeting. As you stop at the lights, you spill coffee on your favourite shirt, and to top it all off, you realise you've forgotten your lunch at home. As you sit in the office trying to shake off the morning's events, a thought crosses your mind. Maybe it's because I was mean to my partner this morning. Now, as illogical as this may seem, it's almost a universal pattern of thinking. We love explanations, and we often seek them in the form of cause and effect, even when they may not exist. Some traditions also believe in cosmic balance, which is where the concept of karma comes into the picture. Originating from the ancient Indian philosophy, karma is often understood as a principle where good deeds are rewarded and bad deeds are punished. However, the psychology behind our good and bad deeds reveals interesting takeaways about their ripple effect on our lives. Here is some science behind how believing in good karma can have a profound impact on our lives and the world around us. Karmic beliefs may make us more likable individuals because it promotes honesty, and we are drawn to people who exude honesty. A 2006 study published in the Journal of Research in Personality, participants were given descriptions of individuals with varying levels of honesty, intelligence, and independence. So basically what they did was show someone a photo and kind of give them a little bit of background on that person. Sometimes they'd say, yeah, he's a very honest person and very open. Sometimes they'd say, yeah, he's a little bit tricksy. And then they'd see what response they got. The participants were asked to rate the individuals based on their photographs. Interestingly, participants found those described as honest to be more appealing. They perceived these individuals as healthier, kinder, and more attractive, even though they were just working off a photo.
Right.
This suggests that honesty doesn't just make us likable, it also enhances our appeal to others. And it turns out karmic thoughts can influence our integrity. In a recent study, researchers used two anonymous online games as a platform to observe the truth-telling behaviour of participants. One game involved a coin toss, where a winning outcome would result in the person getting paid $1. The results were intriguing. In the first game, a significant number of participants, 40%, chose to be dishonest in order to receive the $1 reward. However, the introduction of karmic reminders into the experiment, so I guess that's telling people, you know, you've got to be honest, otherwise you'll get bad kind of vibes and karma. Telling them lying might cause them bad karma made them less likely to lie. At this point, you may be thinking, getting people to like us through honest behaviour is one thing, but can our karmic beliefs also make them want to help us? So this comes back to a kind of instant karma, direct response for the good deed that we've done at some point in our life.
I see. Yes, yes.
Wait for it. He says, the answer is yes. Karmic beliefs may help in surrounding yourself with people who are rooting for you. Likeability, which is one consequence of a karmic desire to have integrity, can set us up in important ways. If people are attracted to you and your personality, can have direct effect on various aspects of your life. People are more likely to trust and cooperate with those they find honest and attractive. This can lead to better teamwork, stronger friendships, and more fulfilling relationships. In a professional setting, honesty can make you a more desirable candidate for jobs or promotion. It can also enhance your reputation. Having a large social network of people who vouch for you is a crucial aspect of success. Acting in a way that tempts good karma can make others feel a need to reciprocate. He has this scenario, which is a good one. He says, you reach out to an old friend from college to see how they're doing. You find out they're looking for a job change. you remember that your company has an opening position that fits their qualifications perfectly. You decide to recommend them to your hiring manager. A few weeks later, your friend gets the job and is immensely grateful for your help. In this scenario, your act of reaching out and helping a friend not only helped them find a new job, but also strengthen your relationship with them. They are now more likely to help you in the future if you ever need it, creating a positive cycle of reciprocity. This is a real example of how good karma works. Your good deed comes back to you in the form of stronger friendships and a potential ally in your professional network. The real power of good karma is about understanding that our actions can have far-reaching impacts on our lives and the relationships we cultivate. It's not about expecting a reward for every good deed we do. Karma is not so much a mystical force, but the realization that our destinies, in a real way, can be influenced by having the right people around us.
That makes a lot of sense. I hadn't really thought of it that way, but I could see that in a tribal situation, a community, it would make sense to have that quick return, because that way the collective survive better. I wonder if anyone's ever done a study on, say, monkey groups. It feels like that might be the same thing.
Yeah.
A taller monkey reaches a piece of fruit for the younger monkey, who then, I don't know what favour they could repay, maybe that offers them some water. I'm making it up. I don't know anything about monkeys. But you know what I mean? I could see how that would really work.
And you picked up on something that I was feeling while I was working on this. I was going, because I almost had this cynical view of, yeah, you put this good karma out. Are we just fooling ourselves? You know, do you need some kind of religious context to make you want to do it? There can't be an evolutionary reason. But from that article, what he's saying is, yeah, there is, because if you give out good vibes, if you do give things for somebody, they're more likely to reciprocate, which means that your karma comes back to you. And like you said, it helps the tribe as a whole. So it is, you know, there is an evolutionary basis to it, I think, right, where I didn't think there was.
That makes sense. I was reading, I mean, you know my love of dogs. I was reading about, because as everyone knows, I've got a puppy and I love reading about them. And I was reading about wolf society. And right. I was aware that the older female wolves look after the cubs, but I didn't realise they sort of have a retirement age. And the pack looks after the older wolves. So they do look after the both sexes. But the females who are playing a role in raising the cubs, they don't have to do any hunting anymore. They get brought their food because they've been caring for the cubs all day. And, of course, the karmic thing there is that the dominant dogs get their genes sent down the bloodline.
Yeah, yeah. Which makes complete sense, doesn't it?
It does.
It's funny to hear the story of a man getting his comeuppance at a hot dog stand, but I found it was interesting from that, reading that article, I was more drawn to those stories of good karma, and it seems a lot of people online are as well. The article seems to say to me that we trust people who seem honest and good, and when we trust somebody like that, we're more comfortable having them around us. And more open to collaboration and work together, right?
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's true. I'm just thinking of small examples. I think even if someone does something very small, like holds a door open for you, you're probably more likely to have a conversation with them than if they just walk in. I know you might say, well, holding the door was an icebreaker, but actually maybe there's a thing where you feel like, oh, you know, you recognise that person as being okay, you know, and that's part of karma, I see.
So, yeah, I guess it's like the good karma we put out as an effect on other people. That's kind of what you're saying. They may then want to share their good karma with us. So you might open a door for somebody else. Or maybe the guy giving blood is a really good example, isn't it? He had been given blood that had saved his life and was determined to repay that. And, you know, he ended up saving millions of lives. You know what I mean? It's the same principle. And a bit like the karate story as well is the flip side of that, that the bully had given that person such grief that they really wanted to get their revenge. And that revenge felt good to them. If they'd not had that connection, she would have never wanted to get her revenge. Do you know what I mean? So, you know, I guess it works both in good karma and bad karma.
I wonder what she would have done if he'd come along. I don't suppose, I mean, because there's an implication there that she'd have beaten him up, and that's bad karma following bad karma.
Yeah, exactly. So, but it proves the point, though, doesn't it? That by him creating that bad karma has almost done a cycle.
Oh, yeah, it does actually. Yes, sorry, I hadn't thought of that. Yes, you're right.
You know what I mean? It creates this cycle of bad karma. So, yeah, I mean, when I started this journey, I was like, these are just Jot stories. They are all about coincidence, which they may be, but in a way they're not, because the good ones all have some thread of somebody did something good for somebody else and somebody then repaid it. I think what makes these stand out is most of them, they get to repay it with the person who was involved in the first place, whereas most stories, or certainly from the psychological article, it's not like that. But, you know, I went from going, yeah, karma doesn't really exist, it's just something we tell each other, to, no, I think it's a real thing. I really do.
Yeah, but it's not a mystical force. It's part of what is built into us to create society.
Yeah.
I see exactly where you're coming from. That is very interesting. So the paranormal side of it is where we start thinking about having to pay off karma in future lives. And because I do struggle, you know, there's a nice way of thinking about, you know, you think about, I don't know, Hitler or Putin, and you go, how is it fair that these people, you know, Putin, a multi-billionaire, is killing innocent people, and where's his going to come up and is going to be? And the sort of, some people might say, well, he'll get it in the next life, you know, something terrible will happen. Mm. And that sort of gives you some comfort, I suppose. Not very nice comfort, but it is a nice, there's a thing there, but that's very different to what you're describing.
It's a more nuanced effect than that, isn't it? So you're right, that kind of spiritual angle, yes, you would say, well, you know, how can someone kill millions of people and end up having a nice life? Do you know what I mean? But I guess it's more, it's more nuanced than that. And I was struck by how John Lennon really had caught on to something with his version of instant karma, because I don't know how the conversation went over that dinner, but it's almost like you're saying, well, if the reward or the punishment is only in the next life, what's all that about? So I think his concept of instant karma was just put out good stuff and there's a chance it might come back to you. Maybe it's not guaranteed, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's going to get you.
Yes, completely. Yeah. And it will, you know, sometimes we do it to ourselves. You'll get yourself.
Yeah.
But that was great. All the way through this, I've been trying to come up with another name for the hot dog guy, which included something something to do with the word wiener. I haven't been able to do it.
Yeah.
Because I did come up with the winning wiener, but it was the opposite of that.
I mean, oh, God. I mean, I don't feel sorry for him because he kind of robbed all these people at gunpoint, but oh, he must have a tough time in prison, don't you think, if that story gets out?
I mean, yes, maybe.
You shot off your own penis.
I know, but it says something to my personality that all I can think of is, I really want a hot dog.
Oh, I love a hot dog.
I love a hot dog so much.
Bit of French's mustard.
Yes, exactly.
Tomato ketchup, onions.
See, I like to dip in the tomato ketchup.
Oh.
I know, because then you've always got the right amount.
Well, yeah, I go onions bottom layer, sauce mid layer, dog on top.
That actually makes sense because you seal in all the good bits
that's
the meat.
That's my thought, and it's less messy, but maybe messy is part of it.
Oh, that's so good. I'm hungry now.
You know what? We're going to have to stop recording when we're so hungry on a Friday night.
I know. I must have a bigger lunch.
Yeah.
I'm literally salivating.
Yeah. We've turned into a culinary podcast rather than a paranormal. But to bring it back to the paranormal, I'm not sure there's anything kind of, I'm not sure I believe that there's anything majorly spiritual or paranormal about karma, but I love that explanation that it is a almost evolutionary psychological effect that does make sense. I think that's really interesting. I mean, you could attach some paranormal to the fact that those coincidences of it's the person who saved the person who then ends up saving them. Do you know what I mean? But again, that probably is more to do with coincidence and numbers than anything paranormal. But I just love those stories, especially the positive ones.
I really do. I really do. They were great. And they just reminded me of my love of jots as well.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I think we were talking about it. I think somebody asked on that live thing that we did about favourite episodes and topics, and you mentioned jots, and I wonder if that almost put it into my mind of, you know, well, karma. And then when I saw a couple of stories, I was like, yeah, these are like jot stories, but there's that kind of added twist to them.
Well, improve your own karma for the price of around 9 chicken nuggets. Join us at patreon.com/TQMpod and follow us on the socials. Join in the conversation. Lots of people having chats this week on there. Very entertaining. Lots of good thoughts.
Could I say for the price of a hot dog? Does that work?
It does. I don't know how much hot dogs are now.
No, I don't know.
I was going to say a price of a hot dog in New York in about 1993.
Yeah, yeah.
Because I bought a chicken royale from Burger King the other day. £6.99.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. I did a McDonald's thing the other day and was just like, how much? You know, yeah, I'm with you. But yes, the price of a hot dog from 1979, did you say?
No, I think 1992.
1992. Other years are available. But yeah, well, I think the takeaway from this, see what I did there, takeaway?
I saw it. I like it.
Is just be nice to people. Just be nice to people anyway. But it looks like it's scientifically proved that if you are nice to people, it will come back to reward you.
It will. And don't put a loaded gun in your pocket.
There you go. Two top tips from us here. We'll be back next week with more of the quantum mechanics.
I've got something about angry small people next week. Come back to us.
Excellent. Good. All right. See you next week.
See you next week.
Bye. Bye.
The quantum mechanics.